Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. So excited that you're here. We hope that you enjoy this week's talk and it really connects to your life in a meaningful way. If you're live in the Pomona area, we would love to have you at one of our gatherings at 10 a.m. or at one of our Humanity groups that meet all throughout the week, all over the city. If you want more information about our community, you can go to www.humanitychurch.com or download our app on your phone on Apple or Android. If you like what you're hearing here and want to continue to support the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977 and give back financially in just about 10 seconds. Hey, and here's this week's talk that was given live at our Sunday gathering at Humanity Church.
Good morning, Humanity, and all of you guys live streaming. I'm sharing a cup of coffee with you guys. Welcome. So we've been on a journey, heart and soul. We've been going through the Enneagram, and it's about you. And it's also about the person next to you. And it's also about the person at home. We've traveled through two of the Enneagrams, one and two, and I'm just going to read a little bit here. So far we've learned Enneagram one, the reformer, sees the world and wants to make it right. And at their best, the reformers are hardworking, principled, noble, idealistic, and they gracefully want to help people transform and bring them into the image that God has created them to be. Their primary fear is unworthiness, and in their unhealthy state can be resentful, judgmental, rigid, dogmatic, critical of others, and intolerant. That's so cool, right? So basically, if you were to drum up a statement, a lot of times at their unhealthiest, what's going on in their head is they're asking this question of the world. How could those people be so stupid, right? It's good to know. To thine own self be true. Two, the helper sees people. Notice, reformer sees the world. The helper sees people and wants to affirm and support them. At their best, helpers are nurturing, compassionate, generous, super sensitive. I know a lot of helpers. And they help us connect to one another and to God, right? Their primary fear is being seen as useless. Oh my gosh. Someone once said to me, "You're using me." And I said, "Yes, you should be very happy because if I wasn't using you, you would be useless." That didn't go over very well. I've known this person 30 years, actually been married to them 30 years, so. And that's just lucky. It's lucky that it's still an ongoing marriage. Now, at their unhealthiness, this is really interesting. The primary fear is being useless. At their unhealthy state, they can be possessive, manipulative, overly accommodating, demanding appreciation, and they can be martyr-like. Their unhealthy mantra is, "Nothing would happen around here without me." But the helper is so sensitive, they don't speak it out. So really, the way it looks like is like this. They're very sensitive. I'm having fun, people. We're going to have fun today. Yeah, cool. So I was asking myself a lot of questions about, like, why another personality test, right? Myers-Briggs, and honestly, we're all about it here at Humanity Church, right? StrengthsFinders, you know, I was just asking myself, like what am I going to get from this? Why do I need to know, like, Why these questions about, you know, if you're in a party, do you tend to be in the corner and all? You know, and I'm asking myself the question, like, why do I need to know more? Like, what is it about this? Why is it important for me to dig even a little bit deeper into knowing my own self, right? And as I was speaking it, I go, wow, that's pretty dumb, right? Because it's like, you actually believe that you've got a beat on who you are, Juan, and who the people around you are. And it was like, oh yeah, I probably, there's an opportunity here to dig a little bit deeper, right? And what's interesting is that, let me see here, and what's interesting is that when it comes to personality typing, I don't know if you guys know this, but the study of personality typing, the Enneagram itself goes back to the 4th century. So we as humans have been trying to figure this stuff out for a long time. And actually, personality typing goes back thousands of years because the gods that the ancients worshipped were personality types, and we would worship these they would worship these personality types and try to emulate them, right? So Aphrodite was the goddess of love, and, you know, well, that's my god, so I kind of relate with that personality type. Then there was Marduk, which was all these gods of war and all, and we would try to be like that, and we would actually emulate him. And the whole time, we're just trying to figure out how to make sense of the world, right? There's all this data and information being thrown at me, and my little brain can't figure it out, right? So I need to be able to rely on how people are going to be around me. So we're discovering these personality types, and I started realizing, wow, we do this all the time, right? You always try to ascribe a type so that you could make sense of the world. And here's the interesting thing, right? Oh man, I don't know. Don't get with him, he's a player. That's a type, right? That's a person, he's a player. Now, is that all he is, a player? Or is he also incredibly wounded? But if I call him a player, I don't have to look at him. Right? Because now he's just a player. What about this one? Oh, whoa, those are some really good kids. So you ascribe a type, and as a parent, you feel cool. And what you don't discover is that they're really good at rolling joints and talking your kids into smoking them, right? And it's like, but you ascribe a type because you need to make sense of the world. What about this one? He's a jackass. Yes, I said jackass. Really? Is that really all he is? Or was he abandoned by his father, even though his father still lived in that house? I don't know. Yeah, but if I call him that, that's all I get to do, right? I make sense of the world. And I'm making sense of the world so that I'm safe. Oh, that's cool, right? Okay, great. Ooh, be careful with her. She's a real heartbreaker. Right? Maybe she's just scared. Cool. So what's happened is that the study of personality types has a long history, and I don't know much about it, so I won't even speak much about it. But what happens is that a personality type is really a frame through which we can make sense of the world, right, and take action. And that's been the whole study of personality types. The other thing that they're discovering is that over time, personality types tend to be stable, right? So you can kind of count on Juan not being too sensitive, right? Not being overly sensitive. You can count on that, right? Most of you know, right? I've actually had people say, I didn't call you because I knew you wouldn't be so sensitive about this situation. I mean, that's for real, right? And so you can kind of count on that. And just like the people that we interact with, we can kind of count on, like, hey, if you give this person this kind of information, this is likely how they're going to respond, right? Not 100%, but it creates kind of a stable platform for us to understand. But the cool thing is that our personality type is open to transformation. And the cool thing is that when we are disciplined and diligent, we actually could step into the darker parts of our personality that aren't working for us or everyone around us, explore them, plumb the depths, and cause a transformation. Like, be in it with people where they're giving you feedback. Be open to it, and transformation can happen so that we become more like our Creator, right? More like Christ in the world. Now, here's the awesome thing also, is that if we choose not to be disciplined about exploring the depths of this stuff that's not working, the cool thing is that the world is set up in a way that it will swallow you whole when it needs to tell you, you need to get it right. And it's the whale. The whale is just swimming down below, and Jonah's up top thinking, man, I ain't gonna do what God told me to do. I'm free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. And you're swallowed whole in the belly of a violent whale. And then you ask yourself, how did I get here? Right? Never mind that you were running away from all your problems, but then transformation comes also, right? So I'm at a point where, you know what? If there's going to be crisis in my life anyway, I just might as well force it. I might as well just, you know, bring it on. You let me know I'm insensitive. Help me. Let's work this out. Let's have transformation happen with a cooperative group of people that care about you, as opposed to a violent, ugly whale that I have no understanding that's going to spit me on some shore that I don't want any part of. Sound familiar? It sounds too familiar to me, man. I hate it. I hate it. So why, again, why study? Why dig into this stuff? And the reason we dig into this stuff is because I know for everyone here, you love people. There are people in your life that you desperately love, that you desperately love. And what I'm going to encourage you is stop trying to fix them and plumb the depths of your personality type and get yourself right with the cooperation of those around you and God, because here's what's going to happen. As we discipline ourselves and plumb the depths of who we are, all of a sudden, the borders of heaven start to increase around us, yeah. Right? It's like all of a sudden, it's like, wow, there's more peace in my life. How did that happen? The cool thing is, if you're driving this along with God in your community, you're not so surprised. So it's really empowering to say, whoa, I did this. It didn't work. I did this. God blessed it. Whoa, I'm actually in a partnership with God, the creator of heaven and earth, to help expand the borders of heaven on earth. I'm actually empowered. The whale doesn't have to get me. Now, the whale may get you anyway, so full disclosure. You know, there's so much that we don't know that, you know, sometimes the whale just gets you. And hopefully you have an oxygen tank. Cool. So we're going to talk about the achiever today. Number three. So we're clear on why, right? We want to understand our personality type so that we can have a disciplined approach to transformation. And for those of you that do not identify with the Achiever, Enneagram 3, this is especially for you, because you get to look at those achievers around you and you get to see, whoa, man, they're really moving in a healthy path. Let's encourage them, right? Or I see them starting to move into some dark areas where God is not going to bless that. Let's bring this to their awareness, right? And the cool thing is that some of our personality types aren't so supportive, right? Like I identify with a 5-4, so I'm radically self-centered and internally motivated and whatever, right? So that just what it is. You'll talk a couple weeks, you guys will discover about that. So it's not my natural impulse to like encourage someone like the achiever, because the achiever needs a lot of encouragement. When you see them doing good, man, oh, wow, you set that goal, you accomplished that thing, great. Like, so I'm learning about this. I had a conversation with an achiever, and man, it was awesome. We were in this conversation, and they were really speaking truth as to what was going on in their life, and I heard them say something, and I thought, oh, man, I want to encourage that. And here's the gift that the Enneagram had been for me. I'm telling you, had I not been studying the Enneagram, I wouldn't have heard that, oh, They need encouragement in this because they need to be great. They need to be prominent. They need to be seen as successful. And I need to encourage that because that's a really good thing. The other thing with my wife, I mean, I learned that she's an eight, so she's a challenger. Trust me. But at her healthiest, she's a helper, right? So why not encourage that, right? Why not encourage her challenging? Because what's going to happen is she's going to help. Duh, 30 years. Took that. But the Enneagram has been so cool because you're able to direct people into their strength, into their giftedness. Now, to be clear, you are not, I am not a five, I am not a four, I am not a three, I'm not an eight, I'm not a seven, I am a Juan Garcia, right? So I am not a number, you are not a number, there's no way that any one little number is going to describe who you are, right? You are very complicated and beautiful. So you are not this thing. What this does is it creates a map where we get to see, oh, how do I get to my healthiest and how do I help that person next to me get to their healthiest? And imagine living in a world where you're trying to listen to where people are great. Oh, this is where their greatness is. I think you're just guessing because you're thinking, oh, maybe they're an eight. Okay, cool. So let's encourage that. And all of a sudden, boom, man, they walk around. Man, I had such a great conversation with Juan, right? And not really. I've been scared most of my life. So I just want to help now because spewing my opinion all over the world doesn't seem to have worked. So I'm just going to encourage people to be their best, right? Let's do that. So that's what I want to move into. So I'm going to be speaking today to those of you who identify as a three. And to be clear, we live in a culture that completely affirms, celebrates the threes. And when they don't achieve, we throw them away, right? That's just the world we live in. As a matter of fact, we are celebrating a three tomorrow here in Southern California. And actually, no bad, but we're paying $200 to do so, right? Because tomorrow they're celebrating it's Kobe's memorial. And honestly, from all accounts, never met him, but what's happened in his life, it just seems like he's progressively gotten better and better and better and better, right? He ended a beautiful human being. And we are celebrating it at the Staples Center, and we're willing to pay because we are a culture that celebrates the achiever. And the achiever is the rock star, right? For those of you who identify with a three, you're like, oh yeah, it's true. I kind of feel like a rock star inside, right? And if not a rock star, a movie star. And if not a movie star, a business star. But you're some kind of star, right? You are a stara. And I want to move you into this. So you're the core craving, for those of you threes out there, and when I tested high on a three and a couple of others, which you will find in the Enneagram, but then you get to talk with people around you and kind of really parse it out and find out what you best identify with, and I didn't best identify with a three. So your core craving, surprise, surprise, is to be admired and to succeed. That is in your guts, that's what you want. And I'm going to tell you threes today, that is not an evil motivation. That is a good thing. Because without threes in our lives, things, big things would be hard to get done. Because threes, I mean, they thrive on doing the big thing, making the big splash and being admired for it. Not bad. Not bad. Especially when something needs to get done and when the world needs to be changed, that's what you need. You need someone who wants to win. Childhood wound. And I'm learning about these childhood wounds. It doesn't necessarily mean that wound thing actually happened. It's just the way we filtered it, right? Because have you ever had a conversation like 30 years after the fact and nobody remembers it the way you remember it? You're all, what? He didn't say that. He actually thought you should go for it. No, he told me I was a loser and I was never going to amount to anything. No, he just told you to be careful. Now, doesn't mean that the wound didn't happen, because somehow you filtered it in a way that it deeply hurt you. And the childhood wound of the three is that they were only that their feelings were often discounted, but they were only affirmed when they performed well. So your value, threes, came from being that good boy, being that good girl, performing at a high level, and wow, you got an A? Awesome. Let's talk about the D, because that's terrible. Wait a minute. Why aren't we talking about the A? Because you're a performer, man. And if you don't perform, you don't get my love. That's tough, man. That's tough. But that is the thing that often is driving the hurt. And honestly, sometimes it's what drives their crazy levels of performance. I don't know if you've been around a high-performing achiever. Holy cow, man, they're exhausting. It's awesome, though. So your basic fear, your core fear, is to be seen as incapable, incapacitated, or a failure. I relate a little bit with this, right? So for you to show up and fail hard and, like, not have the resilience to bounce back is a deep, deep fear that you have. So your destructive passion, or where you miss the mark most, or your sin, is deceit. And manipulating the truth to position yourself in the most prominent light. So here's the thing, achievers. This is where you got to be careful, and you got to start being, forget careful. Be aware. This is where you need to start being aware. When you kind of start inflating the truth, and kind of start trying to impress people, you're moving into your sin pattern. I don't know if you guys relate with that, you threes, right? At your healthiest, you're energetic, productive, empowering, visionary, focused, a team builder, goal-oriented, motivating. In this space, you reflect many of the attributes of the Enneagram 6, the loyalist. You're trustworthy, loyal, supportive, a true mentor. Man, you guys rock it. Like, when you're feeling it and you're in your groove, man, watch out, because you're not only great, you want other people around you to be great. You want the team to be great, and you will point to people, you will pick out people to work with. So who doesn't want to be around that, right? And for those of you that don't identify with the three, what about encouraging that? Do you think you might benefit from getting them into their healthiest state? Could you imagine, you know, a three and you have a child, and all of a sudden that three starts mentoring your child? That's powerful stuff, man. That's what Jesus wants from us. He wants us working as this united body, creating heaven on earth. And that is the way to do it. All right, so I want to profile, at your unhealthiest, let me do this. Honestly, I'm starting to learn that more and more with the Enneagram. It's really cool to plumb the depths of our dark side, right? Because what you start discovering is, like, oh, yeah, man, I don't see myself as energetic, motivating, and all that, because you're, right, because things aren't working right now. But you start plumbing the depths of your darker side, and you're all like, oh, yeah, yep, that. And then you start getting that together. You start getting that right. All of a sudden, you're more productive. All of a sudden, you're more energetic. All of a sudden, you're like, wanting to be supportive of people as a three. So at your unhealthiest, this is what starts to happen. When plagued by disappointment, or when you feel like you are not measuring up, that's a big one. This is where your destructive passions can take you down a uniquely dark path. This is where you become self-defensive, exploitive, overly sensitive, self-promoting, arrogant, and incredibly image conscious, and a liar. Yeah, because it's better to look good than to actually be good, right? And man, I'll tell you what, I'll wear the most expensive Oakleys so that you think I'm doing okay, even though I'm riddled with debt. And for those threes, I just want to bring this to awareness, right? Not because this is not to lambast or, because trust me, we all got our ish. Don't worry about it. So I want to read in the Bible, we have an example of a three. It's a great example. You'll find him in Luke 18, verses 18 through 26, and I'm going to read through it. And he's pretty awesome, actually. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in the context in Luke 18 here, Jesus is having these little talks with people, and people are asking some variation of how do I get to heaven. And for some people, it's justice, and for some people, it's humility. But here is what he tells the young ruler. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Oh, Jesus. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "Yeah, all these things I've done." Let me think. Hold on. Check, 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 check. Check, 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 check. Oh, did I really honor my mother? Oh, yeah, check, check. I did that. Okay, so, oh, yeah. From my youth. Man, so from my youth. So he's still young. So when was his youth? When he was four? Right? It's like, all right. So basically, got it. Then when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. One thing. Only one, because you're that good. You're like 99.9% there. Pretty good." Now, he's rich and young. I want you to think of Elizabeth Holmes. Watch the video. So there's a documentary, Inventor. What is it? Anyway, it's the Elizabeth Holmes story. Big achiever, big liar. I'll say more about that later. "One thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Bwah, bwah, bwah. "But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich." Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." It's funny, man. You know what Jesus is saying right there? That getting into heaven is not some self-centered game that you play and that you think you can measure up and sit next to the mighty creator of God, so get over yourself. Whoa. Jesus was hardcore, man. Lovey-dovey Jesus. I love those pictures of Jesus where his head is to the side. I'm scared of Jesus. I'll tell you the truth. Man, it's like, holy cow. He says this to you? Get over yourself, dude. And now, I love this, right? Because this is us. This is us, our part here. This is us. Because we are a culture of achievers, especially here in America. This is what the response from the crowd was. Ooh, those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" Like, they knew if anybody could achieve heaven was this rich young guy. He had the resume, man. He had the education. He had the resume. He had the family. He had the right product. He had the right service. He had the right network of people. And then everybody's all, holy moly, if this guy can't make it happen, who's going to get to heaven? And Jesus says, "Look, it's impossible. It's impossible. So it doesn't matter how big your resume is, right? If what you're striving for is to get it, you ain't never gonna get it. If you're gonna go after it, you can drive yourself into the ground. Rich young man, people drive themselves into the ground, and you know what they don't have? They don't have peace. And Jesus says, you're not gonna give it, but what's impossible for man is possible for God. Let me read through my notes real quick here. Here's the things. When you start threes, I'm talking to you. When you start seeing yourself devolving into inflating what it is that you're really doing or trying to make what you're at hand right now sound better than it is, and you're trying to impress those around you, you're starting to move down the dark path. And I'm telling you right there, that is an awesome spot for you to become aware. That, I mean, right there is the greatest space that you could be in, right? Because you get to then move into truthfulness. So for those of you that are the achievers, you get to now start being like gently and robustly truthful with yourself and with everyone around you. And you know what's crazy? It's what Jesus wants for you, because he wants you healthy, strong, and achieving. So when you notice, oh yeah, I chose that shirt because of the brand. Just, there's nothing wrong with brands. I'm all for brands. Some of them. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with like saying, oh, that's a good brand. But when this brand is, I choose this brand because I want you to see the brand. Right? That means, like, I'm lying. I'm actually lying at that moment. I just want you threes to be aware, because that's the gift. I think that's a gift spot for you to start to see, oh, wow, there's an opportunity here. And for those of you that love the three, tread lightly, gently, but robustly. That's an opportunity to say, hey, could I speak into something? And here's, when they're in their unhealthy state, remember, they're self-defensive. What? Just want to prepare you. What? When you're ready, I'd like to talk. If you're up for it, if you're not up for it, that's cool, right? And that's when you get on with your Christ-centered network and you say, hey, bro, man, I had this experience with Juan. Man, I think he's moving back into that thing. And would you mind, like, maybe speaking into that thing? Is that gossip? No. That's love. That's love. So if you're making up that that's gossip, that's love, right? Because we want each other at our healthiest, right? So when you start noticing that now, for you, for those of you that love the threes, just be super sensitive of how to move into it, because you could turn this into a blow up or into support, right? And I'm not saying you wait a year, because that's the other problem. You don't want to wait a year around these things. But then, hey, you just let me know. Can I circle back with you tomorrow? Fine. And then circle back with them, because what really you're trying to move them into that space, right? Move them into that space. So you need to be aware of, as a threes, you need to be aware of when that lying and image conscious thing starts to show up. And you also need to be aware of when those of you around them need to be aware of when that's starting to happen. You need to speak into it. Now, threes, you are hard-driven people. You are hard-driven people, so if you want to grow, you need to practice stillness, right? So you need to take a break. So those of us who love the threes need to say, hey, you know what? You've been going at it. Awesome, man. I have noticed that you've achieved this. You've done this. I have really rarely seen you this productive, and the things that you are accomplishing are actually leading to this good thing. Now, for those of you who aren't very supportive, me included, that sounds exhausting. Do it anyway, right? It's like affirm, 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 affirm. Hey, let's schedule a break together. You deserve a break today, right? Let's go get a massage. I'm all about massages. Let's go get a massage, right? Let's go get our nails done. Let's take a break. Yeah, I've gotten my nails done once, so it was cool. So let's take a break. Right? help them move into a still moment. And for you threes, you guys are achievers, so make it a goal to practice stillness. See what I did there? Right? I linked both. That's pretty good, right? Make it a goal to achieve stillness. And for those of you who are threes, you're going to hate the practice of stillness. You're going to hate it. Hate it. You can't even stand being alone with your own thoughts. Right? And when you are doing nothing, you hate yourself and everyone around you. Because I'm doing nothing. Literally right now, nothing. Nothing. I've been doing nothing for a week. I've been doing nothing my whole life. Really? You haven't been doing nothing your whole life. Shut up! I've been doing, no. But I'm telling you, so start with like 5-minute increments. So make it a goal for 5 minutes and then kind of expand that a little bit. A little every day goes a long way, people. Practice some stillness. Right? Some of you, when I go like this, you feel relaxed. Others of you are like, oh my God. So practice stillness. That's how you move into that space. The other thing is, you actually need to take account of what you're achieving. It's okay, guys. It's okay to say, holy cow, I've achieved this, 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 and I feel awesome. I feel productive. I actually feel like I'm doing good in the world. And it's okay for you to get accolades about it. It's okay for you to be recognized about those things. But when you start noticing that you're demanding that people recognize you, phone a friend, right? And those of you who are friends around them, phone in, right? Help support them, because what God wants for all of us is wholeness. And the way you help a three be whole is to help them achieve the highest level that they possibly can achieve and affirm them in that. Cool? It's been very practical stuff. So I want to pray. I want to pray for the, let's see. I think I got it done, man. That's cool. I was really shooting for time, so that's good. So I want to pray for the threes, right now. I want to pray for the threes, and then I also am going to pray for those of us who are supporting the threes, right? You don't have to do this, right? But if you're up for it, threes, if you identify as a three, I'd like you to raise your hand. It's okay. You don't have to, but I really would like it if you would, because we want to see you. Because that's the other thing. It's okay to be seen. And threes want to be seen. It's okay. Right? It's okay. That's what I'm saying. It's okay. Threes want to be seen. Let's see them. And let's honor them. Right? I'm just talking the truth, man. It's good. Holy Father, I thank you for the threes. I thank you that they are hard driven, that they are achieving, that they're energetic, that they motivate us, that they move us to the higher level. I want to thank you for the gift that they are. And dear Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, I also pray healing for their woundedness. I pray healing. They are not what they do. Threes, you are not what you do. You are human beings created in the image of God to make an impact in this beautiful world. And whether you succeed or fail is not the thing. The thing is to drive forward in God's love. You are motivated to drive forward in God's love. If you've been told that you're only what you do and you only matter based on your performance, that is a lie that you have been sold. And right in this moment, I declare it gone. Right? And because you are a beautiful human being that inspires us. You are the stars. You are the ones that make things happen, and we thank you for that. And those of us who love threes, and everyone needs a three in their life that they love, I'm praying for you that you see them, like in your mind right now. If you think you know someone who's an achiever, put them to mind and see them, not for what they do, but for the person that they are. And when you see them getting things done and accomplishing things, recognize it. That's how you're going to keep a three healthy. Recognize it. Give them the accolades that they deserve. Thank them for the impact that they're having in the world. And when you see them crawling into the dark hole, bring it to light. I'm telling you, they will, in the end, not in the moment, appreciate it. They will appreciate it. And then for all of us, I'm going to pray us out this way. Holy Father, you have given us the ability to see one another. And I pray that you now give us the courage to move into each other's wholeness. And I thank you for what the Enneagram has opened up to me and to all of us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Humanity Church podcast. We hope that this was a meaningful experience, and we look forward to connecting again next week for another conversation around what it looks like to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. Again, for more information about Humanity Church, you can visit us online at humanitychurch.com. And if you want to support the ongoing work here at Humanity Church, including this podcast, you can give online in about 10 seconds by texting the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977. Thanks, and have an amazing week.